We shall turn again to the scriptures and read from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First letter of Paul to the Corinthians chapter 15. And our text and reading will be from verses 50 to 58, the last part of this amazing chapter on the resurrection. And may we give our attention to the Word of God. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. This is the Word of God. Our text is that very same passage that we have just been reading. And I must say, I preached this sermon last Sunday morning, very 1st of January, in Wellington. I'd like to, again, bring attention of God's people here to that important passage, as we are still very much at the beginning of a new year, and it's good to bear these words in mind. Congregation whom the Lord Jesus loves, there is a purpose in history, and when that purpose has been fulfilled, the clocks that still tick are still. Our sovereign God allowed sin to enter into this world. And through his salvation plans in Christ, he wanted to see sin defeated. He wanted his love to triumph. He wanted to manifest his love and his care for a world in need. And as the Apostle Paul puts it so pointedly in the first letter, in the first chapter of the Ephesian letter, that he chose us from before the foundation of the world, that God had his plan, his GPS, his God's plan of salvation. He had it there before he set this world in order, because he knew what was lying ahead. And he planned to gather a people through Christ, his beloved Son. And that's what we put our hope in. The plan of God. A plan that will not fail, but will succeed. I made reference a little earlier from the book of Micah about the Jewish New Year and the Jewish people on that very first day of the new year, coming by the riverside, emptying their pockets, getting rid symbolically of all that's unwanted. Our sins, our failures, our mistakes. So they came. The Jewish new year, called Rosh Hashanah, began with a trumpet sound. And I was reminded of that when I read this text, the trumpet shall sound. And that trumpet was sounding on the first day of the new year. Now the Jewish new year was on the first day of the seventh month. Why? Because the seventh month was changed into the first month when they came out of Egypt. It was not only a reminder of the birth of this world, but it was a reminder of the rebirth of the nation of Israel, taken out of slavery into Egypt. And so they put the first month there where the Passover was celebrated and where the Exodus happened from Egypt. And the seventh month became, and the New Year's Day became the seventh month, the first day. Rosh Hashanah. The trumpet sounded in the new year. But 10 days after that new year, there was another celebration in Israel, Yom Kippur. That is the Day of Atonement. And the trumpet sound that sounded in the new year, at the same time, was a call to be ready and right with God to meet him on the 10th day. Yom Kippur, in the Day of Atonement. They needed to be ready. They needed to be right with God, just like you and me. We have to be right with God. We call and remind him, be right with God. He's coming again. When? We don't know. But he is. He is. And so we're reminded also of this in this scripture here. 2017 is going to be a year of, we don't know. But we know for sure that it is going to be a year of the Lord, Anno Domini, year of the Lord. That means 2017 years ago, the Lord came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. And 2017 might be the final year that he is going to come again. It might be that final year. We don't know, but we must be ready. That's what the scripture calls us to do, to be ready. And that's all the more a reason for us to turn our attention to this Bible passage. For we are not only on the border of time, but we are also on the border of eternity. So therefore, and that's what Paul reminds us of, the trumpet shall sound, that's on the border of eternity. Time shall come to an end. The trumpet shall sound. It is symbolic, of course, but it is definitely pointing to the coming of Jesus. The trumpet shall sound. And there's two things that we want to remember under that heading. First of all, that sound, the trumpet shall sound, is a signal for change. And secondly, the sounding of the trumpet, or the fact that the trumpet shall sound, is also a preparation for that time of change. It is a stimulus for service. A signal for change and a stimulus for service. For we are not waiting for the coming of Jesus as saying, now we're ready and waiting, let's sit in our rocking chair and twiddle our thumbs and wait and wait and wait and wait till he comes. No, says Paul in the scripture passage, get busy. Go labor on. That's the word he uses. Labor on, serving the Lord until the time comes. Now, when we look at this Bible passage, the first thing is that we are looking at what that change is all about. When you have read with me and followed We just heard me the reading of this particular passage. There were two words that kept on being repeated here. Perishable, imperishable. Perishable, imperishable. And another two words similar. Mortal, immortal. These are words we must bear in mind. We must confess, first of all, that we are perishable people. There will come an end to life. We are perishable. We have, let me put it this way, we have an expiry date on us. The only thing is we don't know it. We don't know what it is. But we have an expiry date on us. Just like the products on the shelf in the supermarket. But that does not mean that we have not tried to improve life over the years and centuries. There have been many efforts to improve the quality of human life. The medical world has come up with amazing improvements and great care for all the ills of the human body. The scientific world has been probing into better quality lives, even trying genetic engineering to come up with some, what they thought, ingenious solutions. But all the same, we're still perishable. We're still perishable. No matter what we have done to improve the quality of life, we are deep down conscious of the fact that we still have our flaws, that we still have our failures. We are aware of the fact that this world, no matter how much has been done to improve it over the centuries, that this world is still harboring much evil. You only need to turn on the news at night, or any time of the day. And we're made aware of the fact there is evil going on in this world, in so many places. Christians being persecuted. Think of the war in the Middle East. Think of the radicals in various religions that are hurting people, chasing them away from their homelands. We live in a world in which there is still evil. But in case you forget, it's also there in our own hearts. It's also there in our own hearts. How do we know? Oh, well, we come across it time and time again. For instance, we come here and we confess before God that we have sinned. And we confess and say, Lord, we need your forgiveness. And we are grateful that God has cast all our sins into the depth of the sea, covered up. And then suddenly we meet a brother or a sister or a friend or a neighbor. Oh, I never forgot what you did to me yesterday, or a year ago, or 10 years ago. We find it hard to forgive. Let's face it. We find it hard to forgive. They are the kind of things we are aware of. This is what our human nature is like. Oh yes, there are many wonderful things and things to be grateful for. But there's also the shadow side. And we must not forget that. This is not paradise yet. It is still to come. So what is God's solution for a human race living in this present world? What's God's solution? Right from the start, when God saw that the human race had set out on a course of self-destruction, he began to work out the plan for the remedy. And this chapter speaks of that. What was his plan? He would himself in person, in the person of Jesus Christ, enter this world. He would experience life as we did. He would feel our pains. He would rub shoulders with us. He would walk alongside of us. He would restore people's lives. Look at the blind. He gave sight again. Look at the deaf who could hear again. Look at the crippled who could walk again. Look what he did. Even the dead he raised. He lived in this world to walk in our shoes, so that ultimately we might live in his world and walk in his shoes and share in his glory. That's why he came. He lived in this world a life that was liable to pain and suffering and death. And he experienced that in the most gruesome way. He was crucified, Roman style of execution. Was that the end? No. He was stronger than death. He emerged the victor through the resurrection of his life. He was paving the way for us to come to our own resurrection in due time. That's what this chapter talks about. The whole 15th chapter of Corinthians speaks about the resurrection of Jesus first. Then it leads on to the resurrection that we ourselves will come to experience. This is where we find these words of encouragement. He came to restore creation to its original glory. Not only that, to give it a status of infallibility. This first world was fallible. There was a fall into sin, the failure of human race. This new world he brings no longer carries that stigma. Through the resurrection, he has given us hope. No longer to fall prey to evil, but being connected with the living Christ. The resurrection is the start of a life freed from death. He loved this planet Earth so as to conserve it by renewal, so that it would not need, when he would come again, a special department of conservation anymore. It is a new world, totally renewed. And then, after his resurrection, follows our resurrection in due time. And that's what the Apostle Paul is describing here, the character, the nature of the resurrection body. It will be different. He says, we cannot enter into eternity with the body that we have now. It will not last. It's got an expiry date on it. He will give us a new resurrection body. And that is what he speaks about. So he says, I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's what he speaks of here in the beginning, flesh and blood, as we have now, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. But what will happen? Those who have died will be raised back to life in a new resurrection body. And those who are alive when Christ comes back, their bodies will be changed. Paul says here, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet sound. For the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised, and we who are alive will be changed, made ready for that new lease of life, unending. All God's people will share in the victory of Jesus. And that's what this chapter is all about. The body and flesh cannot live forever because it's perishable. But changed through Christ's victory, it will. Failure to live God's way now brings death. Law detects sin. Law is just searching us out, as it were. It sees our flaws, our failures. It pins us down. It's just like an X-ray or some other modern means of medical research. Sorting out what the trouble spots are, detecting them. But That law will come to an end. Linked with Christ now, we go beyond our probation period. This is our probation period. We go beyond the probation period. And we shall not only have our full license to live, but go beyond the law that could fail us. That's why he speaks about the law here. So celebration will come, done with our L plates, all done. New lives. Now we still live in this present world, 2017. But we live, and we live still before the deadline. That means we have to come to terms with the fact that at present, evaluation is still going on. Evaluation of our lives. You'll see that evaluation when you're a student at school. Every time at your school, you end up end of the year or middle of the year, exams, evaluation. But it doesn't finish when you finish school. You go into the workplace, you're being evaluated, also evaluated. How you perform. Don't perform well? Out. Evaluation is going on through the whole of our lives. At the end, God does the evaluation. His final judgment is coming. That is what is coming still. So with that, once that evaluation is passed, God will finalize all things. We may therefore at this time still remember that there will be a need to come to terms with that deadline, and then, and that's the point here too, then we can become, when we can live. And we come to terms with the deadline, knowing what it is, ready for it, then we can start living. And that's exactly what the apostle is pointing to here. Then we can start living once we have come to terms with the deadline. Then he says, therefore, my brothers, that's the last verse, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So, we've come to terms with the deadline, now we can begin to live for the Lord, as his people, in whatever time is still left for us. You see, the important thing is that once we know how to handle death, we begin to become able to handle life, whatever life term is still left for us in this world. No labor, therefore, that we perform for the Lord is lost. It is Christ's resurrection that gives value to the present life. We're people who look ahead, and we must always look ahead. When you run a race, you may still be running, but you've got to look ahead. You've got to keep your eye on the finishing line. And you keep going and putting all your energy into it until you reach that finishing line. Well, that's what we're called to do. The Apostle Paul knows that whatever work we do for the Lord is not wasted. In other words, press on. The resurrection gives whatever is done for the Lord its true value. It is built on the foundation that will not fail. Nothing that is done for the Lord is wasted for eternity. Nothing that's done for the Lord. The treasure of the gospel and its accumulated interest is kept in earthen vessels, as the Apostle Paul speaks of that elsewhere. The treasure of God in earthen vessels. The earthen vessels are breakable, but the treasure is not. These vessels are breakable, but the treasure is not. Its value is beyond rubies. So we keep moving on in laboring, working for the Lord. Through him, the apostle says, we are more than conquerors. And what an incentive that is to work for the Lord. For every act of love, every commitment to prayer, every song of praise, every encouragement to others has eternal value. I still recall, and it goes back quite a while, in the 1950s, I'm sure some of you might still remember that one, but some may not. In the 1950s, when I was in my late teens, we went to a camp for young people, younger children actually, younger bracket, for country kids to go to a camp to the city of Melbourne. Just think of that, going to the big city for a holiday, for a camp. Well, we did. We camped in a church hall near, I think it was St. Kilda. It was that part of Melbourne. We were coming together there. We were singing God's praises. We prepared one another for serving the Lord. And this was the song that we sang. And some of you may know it. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. I've never forgotten that song. It's always been a tremendous stimulus. Make me a blessing to others through him. And what an incentive that is to serve God. Think again. Paul says that there is no retirement from that labor in the Lord and for the Lord. Remember, the church is a she. The church is the bride of Christ. And that church is always in labor. It is always expecting. Yes, the church is always expecting. What is it expecting? It's expecting the Lord to come back. Always. But whilst it's expecting the Lord to come back, it's expecting to do his work to touch the lives of others. Until he comes back, then the time is up. So it's expecting to do two things. Expecting the number of believers to grow. For he's waiting with his coming back until the last one is in. So all your labor is worth it. And just as the birth labor is worth that new little life, so all your kingdom labor and devotion to Christ is not in vain. And when that final day comes and the last trumpet will sound, precious, that prior death, even if it comes before the trumpet sounds, and that amazing transformation at a time in the sight of the Lord. So this is the question that you and I have to face. Where are we at right now? Consider the present time, 8th of January 2017. A new year with many new opportunities, but for how long? God knows the time on the clock. We don't. Don't wait for the last moment to make sure that you're on the right track in life. Remember the words of Jesus. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many." They got their sights set on something different. They want present satisfaction. Our main satisfaction is still to come. And so Jesus said, the way is hard that leads to life. Yes, you can even think of that labor again. That leads to life, to birth, new birth. The way is hard, and those who find it are few. We must be reminded of those words. So don't follow the crowds around you. Don't forget there is a fork in the road of life at present. And you either consciously take that narrow road of which Jesus speaks that leads to life, eternal life, or you postpone it. And you wait till the choice ultimately is made for you at the end of time when the trumpet sounds. So what do we do? All people will one day stand before the throne of God, either as resurrected people or changed into a new body that will last. And remember that the opportunity to face that fork in the road, then, at that time, is gone. No more fork in the road. The only road left, that is the one that leads to destruction, unless you are on the narrow road. Unless you are on the narrow road. This is a conscious awareness that we become more and more aware of. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and whoever is still alive shall be changed forever. Where? In one of the two destinations. Which one will be yours? Will be mine? I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians. He says, we wait for God's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. He delivers us. Now. So will you be singing the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? Be sure you will never cease to be amazed. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here together. Every one of us. We thank you for the privilege of hearing the good news that Jesus has come and is coming again. We thank you for your promise to help us understand through the work of the Holy Spirit, to help us see more clearly the truth of your word, to help us walk more firmly on the narrow road. We thank you for that. Touch our hearts anew, Holy God, that we may know and have that wonderful joy and assurance that you give us in your word. So help us to walk on into 2017. We think of those in our midst who are not with us at the present. We think of the Cunninghams overseas. We think of others on holidays. Watch over them. Guide them also. Equip us all to function together as your people in this new year, and to encourage one another as the day draws near. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.